Bulgarian border guards. It happened just as European leaders were agreeing a deal with Turkey, which is going to do more to help ease the refugee crisis. Bulgaria's Interior Minister Georgi Kostov explains what happened.
Three border policemen stumbled last night into a large group of about 50 male migrants. One of the officers fired warning shots. A ricochet followed and one of the migrants was wounded.
Two men and a woman have been charged with assisting an offender after a police officer was killed in a hit and run on Merseyside. PC Dave Phillips was trying to stop a stolen pickup truck in Wallasey. More than half of us wouldn't step in to give CPR if someone was having a heart attack. Andy Hayes reports.
Every year, more than 30,000 people in the UK have a cardiac arrest outside hospital, but 60% of us say we wouldn't help in case we made things worse.
This person is in dire circumstances. They're actually dying. If they wake up alive with a broken rib, they're in a very good place.
Judy O'Sullivan from the British Heart Foundation. Jenny Gray saved her neighbour's life and says all of us should have the knowledge.
I think it's just really important for everyone to know how to do it, because you never know when you're going to be in that kind of situation and it can make all the difference.
More than 35,000 school children are being taught how to give CPR today.
The High Court's ruled the minicab hailing app Uber doesn't break the law. Black cab drivers complained it was using meters which are banned in private hire cars in London. A model who says she was dropped by her agency for being too big has hit back in a letter which has gone viral. Charlie Howard, who's a size 6 to 8, wrote, "I refuse to feel ashamed for not meeting your ridiculous, unobtainable beauty standards." And Captain Alistair Cook's led the way with a double century as England's cricketers chased down Pakistan's first innings total in the first test in Abu Dhabi. A short time ago, the visitors were 413 for 3, trailing the hosts by 110 runs. That's the latest. I'm Emma Jones.
This is Phoenix FM.
Oh, I don't know what that was. I'm going to blame somebody else.
Phoenix FM weather, brought to you by GT Creative Studio, Brentwood's leading website and graphic design
that
specialist.
Was unfair. Joe's looking nervous, thinking she's going to blame me because Joe's not even sitting by the desk. He just sat there. And we'll be hearing more from Joe Laws in a while, because he's got some great local stories to read out in the next 10 minutes or so. So let's take a look at the weather. It's very cloudy. There might be a few bright spells, sunny spells later, a few showers, a few more than yesterday, and it'll be quite breezy. 13 degrees. It does feel quite chilly. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and breezy again, mainly dry with a few showers on possibly in the early afternoon. Maximum temperature is 13 degrees and staying cloudy on Sunday with some light showers. Increasing amounts of sunshine likely on Monday and Tuesday next week, but still a chance of showers.
GT Creative Studio, High Street, Brentwood. Professional website and graphic design services. For more information, call 01277 849 161 or visit gtcreativestudio.co.uk.
Here is Cheryl Crowell with a change. Will do you good.
Loaf, five pile. Beef, Yorkshire puddings, your feet up with the Sunday papers, all great ways to spend the day,
but not really that fun.
This weekend, join Tony Smith and Phoenix 98 FM for Sunday Lunch, with the music news and strange stories from around the world, interviews, chart update and movie reviews. It's 2 hours of great entertainment and great music. Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith, Sundays from midday. Put the fun back into your Sunday. Phoenix 98 FM.
Thank you. radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And in time, this one reminds the other of a past. A life lived much too fast to hold on to. How am I losing you? A broken house, another dry month waiting for the rain. And I had been resisting this decay. I thought you'd do the same. But this is all I ever was. And this is all you came across those years ago. Now you've gone too far. Don't tell me that I changed, because that's not the truth. And now I'm losing you. Fragile sound. The world outside just watches as we crawl. Crawl towards a life of fragile lines and wasted time. And so I cry as I hold you for the last time in this life. This life I tried so hard to give to you. What would you have me do? But this is all I.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Life begins at the beaches. Call in and see how life could change for you. Regular seminars for care fee planning, social get-togethers and lunch clubs. Visit us to see how your life could change for the better. The Beaches, London Road, Brentwood. Visit signaturecarehomes.co.uk for more information.
Every week, you could win £1,000 on the St Francis Hospice Lottery. Someone from Brentwood won over £24,000 on a rollover. You've got to be in it to win it, and it's only a pound a week. Go to sfh.org.uk. Profits fund care for local people with a life-limiting illness. Rules apply, and you must be over 16. Help St Francis Hospice and buy a ticket today. It's one of the best bets you can make.
Body Talk with me, Mel Watson, 7pm every Wednesday, whether it's medical, holistic or alternative therapies. Find out what's available. Make your own choices and take responsibility for your own health. Diet, nutrition, exercise. Guest medical professionals. Body Talk with me, Mel Watson, 7pm every Wednesday, brought to you by Spire Hartswood Hospital.
Phoenix FM.
Phoenix FM Events Guide.
Now, plenty to do in and around Brentwood and Billericay. Do check out our website. We get thousands upon thousands of hits a day on our website. Now, you've got Big Brother and Human Rights, a talk by Dara Murphy on Saturday the 24th of October, Amnesty International, Chelmsford Branch, Friends Meeting House at Ransford Road. The talk concerns human rights in our era of the surveillance of our private lives, and it will be followed by NST. That is completely free as well.
For more details about these events and many more happening in your local area, go to phoenixfm.com and click on Events Guide.
Oh, I'm looking a little bit worse for wear. Do I look a bit better now?
Yeah, what
have I done? Oh, you were going to say, what have I done? I'm sitting here with a bag on my head. I'm not. I'm joined by my co-host for Friday, for the next two Fridays?
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Laws, who is doing a... Let me just get it right. Like, I'm going to make sure I read this out. I'm not very good. NCTJ Journalism.
Yeah. NCTJ Broadcaster Diploma in Journalism.
Oh, I can't get all that out. I don't know how to get all those words out. You know, I've had problems already this morning. So have you got any brothers and sisters?
I've got a sister. Yeah? She's called Louise. She's in secondary school.
What's she sort of interested in radio as well, or is it just you with the radio bug?
Well, we do listen to radio, like, in the car and everything, you know, and,
Do you reckon she's at school at the moment, is she?
Yeah, she's in year seven at the moment.
So she won't be listening today?
No, she won't. But I think my mum will, and my nan...
Oh, hello, Mum! See what I do? Isn't it weird? I do that, Joe will see. I'm going, hello, Mum, and I'm waving. It's a bit pointless. So your nan's listening as well?
Yeah.
What's the? Are they very good cooks?
Yeah.
Do they make cakes?
No, not really.
Oh, damn. Yeah, see, I've had a few people that come in that make cakes. I'm like, really? Do they make really good cakes? Why don't you bring one in next Friday? What sort of things do you like at home? What sort of cookie?
I'm not really a lover of my mum's curry, but...
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Laws. Go this afternoon, Joe, if I were you. There we go. Well, I did ask him to say some nice things, and all you got was an insult. She's turned off now.
But I do like my mum's spaghetti bolognese, though.
Yeah. There we go. I hope you can hear her going, yay! Somewhere in Essex. Yeah. Now, 11:21, I'm going to be speaking to my guest who's coming up, who is a film director. It's Christopher Smith. He's produced a film, which is called New Town Utopia, and he's coming up in the next 10 minutes, and we'll be talking to him live in the studio. Right, coming up next is Jason Derulo with Cheyenne.
The Curtain Call with Queen's Theatre Hornchurch.
Get your besties together and catch the heartwarming comedy Steel Magnolias, running from 18th of September to the 10th of October. Fragile as magnolias but tough as steel, six women share life's joys and sorrows in a cosy beauty salon in small-town Louisiana, all whilst having their hair done, painting their nails and swapping recipes. Set in the 1980s, this inspiring play shows that extraordinary experiences exist within ordinary lives and takes us on a roller coaster ride through day-to-day conversations, emotions, and the circle of life. When severely tested, the women show their steel-like strength, supporting each other as the darkest hours descend. This heartfelt and inspiring story will make you laugh, cry, and appreciate enduring friendships. A great night out for you and your friends.
For booking information, visit queens-theatre.co.uk or call the box office on 01708 44 33 33.
Now the time is just coming up to 11:30 and I'm very pleased to be joined in the studio by Christopher Smith, who is a film producer from Benfleet, originally now living in London. Over the last 2 years he's been developing a documentary film focusing on Basildon called New Town Utopia. So thank you for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
And you just congratulations on the new addition to the family as well.
Yeah, 14 weeks old, little girl called Etta. Yeah. So,
is it your first?
It's my first, yeah, and I thought making a feature film was difficult. No, it's been great. It's been great.
And have you been doing lots of filming of your little daughter as well? Are you doing
bits and pieces. I'm not planning on making her an internet star, but there's a lot of photos on my phone and quite a few videos. Yeah, but she's great. So keeping me busy.
Lovely. Right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you're doing this documentary film, and you're still in the process of doing the documentary. It's been over 2 years that you've been putting it together. Mm-hmm. Number one, why does it take such a long time to actually put everything together? Is it your job to do that all the time, or do you do other things, or how comes it's taken? Because we always think that films are done within a couple of months, I suppose, but you know,
I think that one of the challenges I've faced is that I've made most of this film by myself.
Yeah.
So usually for a documentary film, if you get finance, you'd have a large crew in place and you'd try and concentrate the filming on a period of time, which might be 2 weeks or a month or, you know, a couple of months.
Yeah.
And then all the kind of building blocks are in place for you to then finish the film probably hopefully within, you know, a 6 month period or a 12 month period. I've worked on this mainly on my own, but I've also pulled in a lot of favours from colleagues in the industry and cinematographers, cameramen and sound people as well. To do bits and pieces. I've been, you know, I think if I'd have concentrated everything I'd done on the film, I'd probably have been working on it about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
But that's been spread intermittently over a 2.5 to 3 year period, really.
Yeah.
Because it's been pretty much self-financed so far. So I've had to earn some money.
Yeah.
At the same time, I've also been working on a few other different projects.
Yeah.
At the same time. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons it's taken so long. But I think it's actually been a real positive that it's taken that long.
Mm.
So I think when I started working on the film, I had a very different idea in mind of what the film was going to be.
Yeah.
And it's evolved over the last 3 years, and I think it's going to be much better for it. One of the things it's given me an opportunity to really get to understand, know and learn about other people from Basildon and build my network of people from the town who are involved in arts or culture.
I was going to say, why Basildon? Why do you film a documentary about Basildon? What's so special about that place?
So I think from a personal perspective, I grew up in Benfleet and spent quite a lot of time in Basildon as a kid.
Yeah.
And it always really resonated with me as a very, you know, it was different. It was different to Southend and Chelmsford and Romford and the other places we used to go.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was the town centre and was the architecture and the estates and the artworks, you know, the sculptures that were dotted around everywhere. It just felt, you know, it felt different. And I think that's one thing. I think that, you know, having still going back there fairly often, could see that the town had changed a lot, you know, as a lot of our towns have, but Basildon had really kind of changed, and the town centre is pretty much, is, you could probably break it down into empty shops, betting shops, pound shops, and payday loan shops now.
Yeah.
Eastgate's not so bad, but I think the main town centre, the outdoor section, you know, there's no cinema, the town gate's still there, but there's no kind of art centre or anything like that.
Is this due to sort of blue water and lakeside, or is this it's just due to economics of where we where we've been over the last sort of 5-10 years.
It's a bit of both. It's a combination of a lot of things. I think having Baz Vegas out of town with restaurants and bars and the massive cinema.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously going to take life out of the high street. You know, and it's probably contributed to the cinema closing down in the town centre. You know, there are some positives. You've got there's an art gallery in Eastgate which is fantastic and puts on work by local artists.
I didn't know.
Yeah, so definitely recommend people get down there. It's where TK Maxx used to be.
Yeah.
And opposite Topshop. And there's a great exhibition which I'm going to see this afternoon, actually, of an artist called Alan Joyce. So I think for me, it was the reason for choosing Basin is that the town had changed a lot in different ways. And the other kind of motivation was, you know, all of the new towns were built to be these kind of hubs for art and culture. You know, the new towns were built after the Second World War. As a reaction against, you know, poor living conditions in the cities, not just London, but the other kind of urban centres. You know, the cities have been bombed, you know, considerably. And so it was to create these places for people to move to where they had more space, you know, an opportunity to have more green space around them, you know, a parking space for their car, even if they didn't have a car.
Yep.
You know, all of these things, they were built to create opportunities for people living in the cities, but they were also built with other things in mind. You know, they were built to have their own kind of strong micro economies with industry and business. They were built, as I said, to be like a hub for art and culture. And you know, and you look at Basildon now, I don't think many people would tell you that they would consider it to be a hub for art and culture, and I think there's a lot of reasons for that. And it's quite a complex thing to dig into and look, and that's what I'm trying to do with the film. It's like, why is the town how it is now, but also where are the people that are still doing something creative?
Yeah.
And so all of the people, you know, I don't feature in the film, there's no voiceover or anything like that. I'm not bringing in academics on architecture and town planning from X university. You know, the film is from the words of everyone, of people that have grown up in the town.
And is there music? Have you got music in the film?
There's quite a lot of music in the film. Yeah. So actually music and poetry play quite a big role. Yeah. A couple of the people, Ralph Dartford, another chap called Olmo Lazarus from Basildon, are poets, and they do some performances in the films, but in places where they grew up.
Yep.
You know, Ralph's from Laindon and Olmo's from around Pitsy. And a lot of music. So Phil Burdett is in the film.
Phil Burdett has been in the studio. Yeah, very good.
Great, you know, real character. Yeah. Folk, you know, fantastic folk and blues musician. Another chap called Mike Parker, who's an amazing pianist and also a poet as well, who taught at one of the schools in Basildon for a long time. So yeah, there's a lot of that, and I think the film itself is quite kind of rhythmic and poetic in its own way, but because of that. So it mainly consists of kind of interviews with people, with examples of their work, whether it's painting or poetry or music or puppetry. In the case of one of the characters, one of the real characters in the film, a chap called Steve Waters, and that's the real kind of basis for the film. And I think the architecture plays a real role as well. I've spent a lot of time filming around the town and the estates. Because I think the one of the key questions that the film asks and that I want to ask of the film is, you know, is it the people that make a town or is it the town that makes the people?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've come up with the answer for that yet. It's probably a bit of both. But I think I find that really interesting, you know, and it's like, you know, it's not just the economy, it's not just the culture, it's also the architecture and the environment.
Did you intersplice it with the intersplice? Listen to me, I'm coming up and making my words.
I'll use it because
I just made it up. What I meant to say, did you sort of cut in? Did you look at sort of old documentaries or old video news footage for that area, maybe back in like the 70s or the 60s, and is some of that in the documentary or not?
Yeah, so there's quite a few bits around, not so much of Basildon, but of other new towns. So like Stevenage and Harlow, there's quite a lot of footage. So that's very helpful. I think the challenge of me incorporating that in the film is the cost.
Yeah.
So, because to buy archive footage from either BBC, where there's
I thought you just took it.
Yeah, no. It's a lovely idea, but unfortunately not.
It's illegal.
Yeah. So the BFI and British Pathé have some great footage, and that's one of the things. So one of the things I'm aiming to do is try and raise some money to finish the film through crowdfunding.
Yeah.
And some of that money would go towards paying for archive footage to use in the film. So, for example, Phil Burdett had a BBC documentary made about him in the 80s.
Yeah.
So it'd be great to use some footage for that. But obviously the BBC will charge for me to use that footage.
And
another lady, Wendy Taylor, who actually produced some of the sculptures around the town, had a South Bank show made about her. In the late 80s as well. So that would be great footage to be able to bring, because it's got it's Basildon, but at different eras.
Yeah.
And would help show that change. You know, and one of the things that would be great, you know, if there's any listeners that have or know of any Super 8 or film footage they've got sitting in their loft or attic that they're not doing anything with, you know, I'd love to see it, and would happily kind of pay to convert it into DVD and digital if I could be able to use some of it in the
there
film.
There we go. There's a call out.
Put
people up in their lofts as we speak. With the film, once it's actually completed and you've got your crowdfunding and it's all completed, what is the plan? Do you to get everybody and do sort of like an event where you show the documentary, or do you take it round to maybe Channel 4 or the BBC and say, look, I've got this documentary. How does it work?
Yeah, it's so I think the standard route for documentary films is that you try and get them into festivals, then into cinemas, then try and sell them to television, and then you look at DVD or selling your film online. I think with this film, I'll probably try and take a bit more of a DIY route to doing that. I'll definitely try and get it into film festivals.
Yeah,
there's some key documentary festivals like Sheffield in the UK and IDFA in Amsterdam and Hot Docs in the US. If you get your film into those festivals, it's a real marketplace to get seen by broadcasters and commissioners from TV. So it's very important to try and do that. I will obviously talk to I think, you know, BBC, maybe BBC 4 would be a good place for this. Sky Arts possibly as well. We'll talk to those people. But I think I'm also looking at trying to get as many eyeballs on, you know, I'm not making this film to make money. I'm making this film because I'm passionate about it. If I was making this film to make money, I'm failing miserably at the moment. So, you know, so I think what I want to do is get as many eyeballs as possible on the film. So what I'd like to do is try and run free screenings in the new towns, you know, definitely in Basildon, whether it's taking over a shop front or screening it in the gallery or screening it in the cinema at Bas Vegas, even if I could do one night and do that, and to try and replicate that in other new towns as well, because even though the focus of the film is Basildon, a lot of the experiences and stories are kind of similar, and all of these towns that were built in the 50s and 60s have gone through a lot of the same challenges, I think, over the past 50, 60 years. So I think it's definitely relevant for people from the other new towns as well. So that's one of the things I'd like to do, and then maybe trying to raise sort of community screenings as well. You know, there are community groups and art groups in Basildon and other new towns, and try and offer the film to screen there as well. So yeah, there's definitely a kind of DIY ethic which has run throughout the whole making of the film, which I'll try and continue into distributing it and getting it seen by people, really, and making it as easy as possible for people to watch it.
What will be next after this project is finished? I know it's still a way off yet. What have you got coming up, and what's your next sort of project?
So I'm quite focused. This is documentary. I'm quite focused on like narrative fiction film as well, and genre film. So I'm producing a thriller at the moment, a low budget thriller called Dog Boy, and then I'm developing another couple of projects with a writer called Jeff Noon, who's an amazing science fiction writer. Wrote a book called Vert, which I've been in love with ever since I was about 16, 17. So working with him on developing a couple of genre films, but probably still very focused on low budget. You know, I'm not going to try and make something that's £10 million, because it's very difficult to raise that, and with filmmaking you have to hit those stepping stones. You know, it's unless you're Quentin Tarantino, you can't really jump straight into the driver's seat on a big budget film. So I think I'm being realistic about what's next, and trying to develop some projects that are kind of low budget and doable and but interesting and a bit different, hopefully. So that's the plan next.
So if you want to go and see this, it will be in the next couple of months. It's going to be finished.
It will hopefully be finished, if we're successful with crowdfunding. We'll hopefully be finished sort of February, I think, 2016, realistically.
Yeah. So it'll be Newtown Utopia, and you've also got modernmovingimage.com. Can people find out more there?
They can. Yeah, and newtownutopia.com, and we're on Twitter at Newtown Utopia as well.
Brilliant. It's lovely to meet you. I've got a couple of questions, actually, because I'm trying to do some. I've got a GoPro. You'll go, what have you got one of those for? With no camera, with no thing on the back. Anyone who's got a GoPro, you'll know. You either strap it to your head and you ride a bike really fast, or you can film people with it. But it's not. It's nice quality, but not what you obviously use.
Yeah, well, it does the job.
You haven't seen it yet. Thanks very much to Christopher. And do keep your ears and eyes open for that film documentary, which is Newtown Utopia. And we'll put all the details up on the website as well. So thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
11:43, here's the promo for That Friday Feeling.
Hiya, it's Nikki Mills here, and it is my mission every Friday to give you that Friday feeling. I will do that by playing all the latest chart music, telling you what's happening in and around the area of the Phoenix Film Club Guide, and throwing in the Friday film feature too. So whether you're going out or staying in, tune in to Phoenix FM this Friday from 6pm for that Friday feeling.
What's happening in Brentwood? Where are those police vans going? When will those roadworks ever end? Will we ever get a new cinema on that site? Most local news doesn't appear on TV, online, or in the national press. For that, you need a quality local newspaper. The Brentwood Gazette. Full of features, stories, events, tweets, listings, and all the things important to you. The Brentwood Gazette is written for Brentwood people and read by 54,000 residents every week. The Brentwood Gazette. For news and views you won't find anywhere else.
Spire Hartswood Hospital Brentwood. Cosmetic surgery from experts you can trust. We offer a range of cosmetic surgery operations and non-surgical procedures, all in a safe, clean and comfortable private hospital setting. Book an appointment with a consultant plastic surgeon today, or find out more at one of our regular cosmetic surgery open evenings. Call us on Brentwood 232 525 or visit spireheartswood.com.
FM travel update.
All right, let's have a quick look and see what's happening with the roads today. Now, not too many problems. I always say that, and there's a huge traffic jam somewhere. So here we go. Let's have a look and see what's happening on the roads at the moment. Now, we've got M25, two lanes, in fact, closed on the Junction 26 Waltham Abbey and Junction 25 A10. Due to an accident, queuing traffic is back past Junction 27 off the M11. A13 westbound, slow-moving traffic from Stivford Interchange towards the M25 at Junction 30. A127 Londonbound, slow-moving traffic between the Kent Elms corner and the Prince's Avenue. There is a sinkhole here in Brentwood, and there are traffic diversions, so make sure you follow those. Having a quick look onto the overground Dagenham Dock, you've got problems on that C2C service. Still no service between Liverpool Street and Barking. Due to a technical problem, tickets are being accepted on London Underground, Jubilee Line services and West Ham and Stratford. And then onto the Underground, no reported problems. More traffic and travel in half an hour.
Helping to keep Brentwood and Billericay moving. Phoenix 98 FM Travel. Phoenix FM Events Guide.
All right, let's have a look, see what we can get up to in and around Brentwood and Billericay, shall we? Here we go. Hazel Morley Memorial Quiz Night in aid of Billericay Community Archive at the Women's Institute St Edith Lane, Billericay, on Saturday the 31st of October at 7:30. Tickets of 8, please bring your own drinks and nibbles, and it's only £5 to get in.
For more details about these events and many more happening in your local area, go to phoenixfm.com and click on Events Guide.
All right, we're going to finish off with a couple of tunes coming up to 12 o'clock, and then we'll be handing over in the next half an hour or so to Joe Laws, who's here as my co-host.
Yeah, hi.
Are you getting excited about the faders and?
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous.
Don't you worry, I'll be standing right. But I'll do Scott Ross. You won't meet Scott Ross, but Scott Ross is here. You must have heard he's a legend.
Yeah.
And sometimes he stands that close. That close, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's just watching. You have to be careful. He's not here on a Friday, you won't have to worry. Now 11:55, let's take it up to the 12 o'clock news, and myself and Joe will be back after these.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Barely touching, so do it again, so we could be on to something. Sunday morning, whether you're an early riser or prefer to take things a little easier, join me from 7 for Sunday Breakfast, with local news and events, the golden year on this day, and the UK Top 10, as well as sport, news and travel. There's something for everyone. Phoenix Sunday Breakfast, 7 to 10am with me, James Maloney. See you next Sunday.
We'll be passing by, and there'll be wasting time.